She focused her studies on global maternal and child health issues with a focus on maternal mortality in the Dominican Republic and Haiti. Kate recently served as a Clinton Fellow in India, where she explored community perceptions of India's national conditional cash transfer programs for institutional deliveries. Kate currently manages the knowledge management system for the Maternal Health Task Force at Harvard School of Public Health and was closely involved in the planning and implementation of this meeting in Istanbul, Turkey, that focused on bringing the malaria and maternal health communities together. So I'll turn it over to Kate.
Welcome, and thanks for coming to this session on malaria and pregnancy. My name is Kate, and I work for the Maternal Health Task Force at Harvard School of Public Health. I've been working on maternal health for the past several years, but only recently have had the opportunity to learn a bit more about malaria and start working on this issue of malaria and pregnancy. It's an honor to be able to present some of our recent work on this issue, and I'm delighted to share the panel with my colleagues and friends. So I'll start with a quick overview of what my presentation will be about. So we're going to start with a fun fact about malaria. Then I'll briefly go over some of the malaria basics for those of you who are new to this topic. We'll take a closer look at maternal health and malaria, specifically malaria and pregnancy. And we'll highlight some of the reasons why this issue is at a critical juncture and immediate and focused action is needed. Finally, I'll talk a bit about our recent work around this technical meeting that I was involved in planning and coordinating. So, a fun fact. Which famous children's book author worked on malaria prevention before writing children's books? Any guesses? Yes, great. So, according to NPR, a recent story on NPR, before Dr. Seuss began cooking up green eggs and ham and counting colorful fish, he worked on malaria prevention by creating booklets for World War II soldiers, explaining how malaria was transmitted. He developed a character called Thirsty Ann, who represented the Anopheles mosquito, the type of mosquito that transmits malaria. So, we'll take a look at some of the basics around malaria. So malaria is caused by four types of parasites that are carried from person to person by the bite of bloodthirsty ant, the female Anopheles mosquito. Plasmodium vivax and falciparum together account for almost 90% of malaria infections globally. Falciparum is the most virulent form and is responsible for most malaria-associated deaths and severe disease. Falciparum is the major cause of mortality and morbidity in sub-Saharan Africa, where these presentations will focus. So what happens when the mosquito bites? Humans become infected with malaria parasites when they're introduced into the human bloodstream by the bite or the blood meal of an infected female Anopheles mosquito. The parasites are carried to the liver, where they mature over 5 to 30 days, which is known as the incubation period, and then are released into the blood, infecting red blood cells. This is usually the time when onset of illness occurs. So illness from the parasite can be classified as uncomplicated or severe malaria. Symptoms of uncomplicated malaria caused by any of the four species may include fever, chills, sweats, headache, body ache, and vomiting. Severe malaria occurs almost exclusively with falciparum malaria and is often associated with delays in accessing quality and appropriate care. Severe malaria can develop within 24 to 48 hours of the onset of illness. It can lead to severe anemia, cerebral malaria, coma, recurrent seizures, respiratory distress, various other complications. Even with treatment, some estimates suggest that 20 to 40% of patients who develop severe malaria will die. Many patients survive, but they run the risk of developing cerebral malaria and suffering from long-term consequences, such as developmental delays, learning disabilities, and neurological damage. So where is the greatest burden of disease? According to the CDC, 3.3 billion people, that's about half of the world's population, live in areas at risk of malaria transmission. This includes 109 countries and territories, but 35 countries account for 98% of the global burden of malaria deaths. 30 of the 35 are in sub-Saharan Africa, and the remaining 5 are in Asia. It's safe to say that sub-Saharan Africa faces the most extreme burden of disease due to malaria. So it's also important to note that pregnant women are actually at an increased risk of acquiring severe malaria. Their level of illness and consequences of infection has to do in large part with their level of immunity, gravidity, and HIV status. So with more exposure, women often acquire some level of immunity. In terms of gravidity, women are at the greatest risk of severe complications during their first and second pregnancies. HIV infection contributes to the likelihood of serious complications. So a couple of words just about the WHO estimates around sort of the impact of malaria on pregnancy. Approximately 50 million women living in malaria-endemic countries throughout the world become pregnant. Over half live in tropical areas of Africa with intense transmission of Plasmodium falciparum. And WHO estimates that approximately 10,000 of these women and 200,000 of their infants die as a result of malaria infection. So let's take a closer look at the maternal health and malaria communities. According to recent reports from the World Health Organization, as well as the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, the number of deaths from malaria has fallen rapidly in recent years. Similarly, recent reports from WHO and IHME also show dramatic reductions in maternal mortality. Despite this encouraging progress, coverage of malaria control efforts among pregnant women remains low in sub-Saharan Africa. And this is despite clear evidence of effective interventions as well as significant investments in this area. Experts agree that the maternal health and malaria communities must work closely together in order to significantly increase coverage for this population. Given the existing synergies and overlaps between the two communities, several opportunities exist to collaborate and work more effectively together. These areas of overlap include the target population, pregnant women, the common health outcomes, the focus on preventing maternal and newborn mortality and morbidity, as well as a potential shared delivery mechanism, which is the antenatal care platform. So from the perspective of the maternal health community, it's interesting to note where malaria fits into this overall understanding of causes of maternal mortality and morbidity. For years now, the focus of maternal health professionals' prevention efforts has been on direct causes of maternal mortality. Direct causes such as hemorrhage, eclampsia, sepsis, and others typically occur very close to the time of delivery. So for this reason, maternal mortality prevention programs have focused more on institutional delivery than they have on strengthening the antenatal care platform. Most direct causes of maternal mortality cannot be identified, predicted, or prevented during the prenatal period. However, progress is made on the direct causes of maternal mortality, questions are surfacing about how to best address the indirect causes, such as HIV/AIDS, malaria, anemia, and others. Many of us believe that we need a stronger focus on strengthening the ANC platform, an existing delivery mechanism that has the potential to prevent or manage many of the indirect causes of maternal mortality during the prenatal period. Malaria pregnancy is a substantial contributor and indirect cause of maternal mortality and morbidity in malaria-endemic regions. It also leads to low birth weight, spontaneous abortion, stillbirth, premature delivery, neonatal mortality, and other adverse birth outcomes. So this chart just shows that even when a mother's malaria infection is asymptomatic, it can lead to anemia, which can lead to maternal risk, can also lead to placental infection, low birth weight, and newborn risk. And you can also see the connection between anemia and low birth weight babies. So what are the strategies to prevent, treat, and manage malaria in pregnancy? WHO recommends a three-pronged approach for addressing malaria in pregnancy. It includes insecticide-treated nets, intermittent preventive treatment for pregnant women, and case management. So the title of this presentation is Why Worry Now? And unfortunately, this slide is packed with text. As I mentioned earlier, both the maternal health and the malaria communities have seen dramatic improvements in recent years, but pregnant women are still not receiving the interventions that they need. With some exciting progress behind all of us, now is not the time for complacency. There are several factors coming together at this time that actually make now an urgent time to act on this issue. First, new research out of the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation has challenged conventional wisdom that suggests that adults are typically not at risk of severe malaria and death due to malaria. This is important because most medical schools across sub-Saharan Africa train physicians on the understanding that after the age of 5, there is very little risk of death due to malaria. And I think Dr. Ojembede will probably talk more about these issues at the facility. Second, recently the malaria community has seen drastic cuts in funding from the Global Fund. Fortunately, a new transitional funding mechanism is now in place. But for now, it is only funding current projects. Many questions remain about future sources of funding for malaria across sub-Saharan Africa. Third, drug resistance is developing to the first choice drugs. The resistance can be attributed to a number of factors, including the emergence of fake drugs on the market. Fourth and fifth, nets and insecticides that were part of a major malaria prevention effort and funding a number of years ago are now beginning to disintegrate and wear off. And with cuts in funding, many fear that we will soon see new spikes in cases. Sixth, malaria and pregnancy programs are continuing to struggle with commodities challenges, and communities often face stockouts of ITNs or other supply chains that result in nets not being in the right place at the right time. Seventh, the antenatal care platform is often cited as a highly effective delivery mechanism for various interventions because it seems to be accepted by women. Data suggests that women tend to attend their ANC visits. However, little is known about the actual quality of services provided. In addition, there are rising concerns about the overburdening of this platform. Between malaria and pregnancy, prevention of mother-to-child transmission of HIV/AIDS, sexually transmitted diseases, tetanus, hypertension, and numerous other standard ANC services, coupled with staffing and supply shortages, we have to ask, what can be done to strengthen this platform in order to equip this platform to deliver all of these interventions effectively? So given this sort of perfect storm of challenges all converging at once, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation recently requested and provided support to the Maternal Health Task Force to convene a technical meeting in collaboration with several partners from the Foundation, Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine, London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, and PATH. The meeting was held in Istanbul, Turkey. Over 40 experts attended the meeting from all over the world, including several members of this panel, as well as members of the Ministries of Health of Sub-Saharan Africa, researchers, policymakers, and health practitioners. The concept of the meeting was to share lessons learned from sub-Saharan African countries, to identify the main challenges to addressing malaria and pregnancy, and most importantly, to explore opportunities for collaboration, innovation, and determine next steps to improve partnerships between the malaria and maternal health communities. So I won't go into too much detail about the meeting, but I'd like to share five of the major themes, challenges, and opportunities that emerged over the course of the meeting. First, collaboration. Participants discussed how programming and policymaking for malaria and pregnancy needs to involve the malaria, maternal health, and newborn health communities. They identified three main reasons for this need for collaboration. So first, the antenatal care platform appears to be the most promising platform for the delivery of malaria and pregnancy interventions. Second, malaria and pregnancy is a cross-cutting issue that clearly impacts the health of mothers as well as newborns. Third, crafting strong partnerships between the communities serves as an opportunity to strengthen malaria programming as well as ANC services, and we hope that this will have a ripple effect improving the delivery of additional ANC services. Leadership. While participants recognize that funding is a critical issue, especially right now with the challenges with the Global Fund, experts argued that leadership is equally important. Where champions exist, coverage for malaria and pregnancy interventions improves. Leonardo will talk more about this issue of leadership in Mozambique. Harmonization. Over the past several years, recent guidelines for addressing malaria and pregnancy, specifically the timing and dosing for IPTP, have varied and at times been confusing. One expert at the Turkey meeting pointed out that within the World Health Organization alone, something like 6 versions of the IPTP guidelines existed. However, it's worth mentioning that just this month, WHO issued new guidelines that seem to be more clear about timing and dosing, and they attempt to harmonize and synchronize the IPTP intervention with the existing ANC platform. Due to the overburdening issues I mentioned earlier of the ANC platform, as well as growing resistance of the malaria parasite, participants stressed the importance of prioritizing the strength and strengthening the ANC platform. In terms of drug resistance, meeting participants explained that it is unclear what the replacement combination of drugs will be, but that it will likely be more expensive and more complicated to deliver. Okay, so finally, implementation research. Throughout the meeting, participants expressed the need for more implementation research to better understand context-specific issues around integrating maternal health and malaria services. So I'll turn it over to my colleagues to talk in more depth about all of these issues and specifically how they're playing out in sub-Saharan Africa. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kate.